Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
And Arise hits it on the ground the other way. Into left field and a base hit. Wade comes in to score. Diaz is going to try. Young's throw to the plate, and he is meet. Not particularly close as Diaz just slid in feet first to Adams' tag.
Hey, never mind. Elias Diaz had a really good game today. A couple of hits. Also made a pretty good play there in the ninth inning on that bunt. That, by all rights, should have been a leadoff bunt single for Young, which would have given the Nationals a little rally in the ninth inning. But the Padres shut him down. 1-0 the final at Petco Park today. Welcome to the post-game coverage, as it were. Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan, 4:46 is the time. And we will be here for not just 1 hour, but 2+ hours. Bonus baseball here tonight on the Gwynn and Chris program. We'll be here till 7 o'clock. So sit back, relax, and we'll talk some Padres. We'll talk about everything else going on. Scraby and I were together on this in this very studio no more than a month or so ago, maybe a month and a half ago. We were joined that evening by Braden Surprenant and a bunch of food from Spiro's. And we had the NFL draft coverage. Do you remember that, Scrape?
I certainly do.
Well, who would you rather have than us tonight for the NBA draft coverage? Yeah, that's what I thought. Thank you.
They're trying so hard to make this
They're
a
trying
big
to
deal.
Make it a big deal, and it's not to many of us, to most of us. And here's what, well, first of all, the Dallas Mavericks are on the clock, and in 15 minutes they'll draft Cooper Flagg.
Exactly.
And then after that, I'm not kidding you, Scrabe, there really isn't a single player who will be drafted tonight after Cooper Flagg that any of us have ever heard of. We just haven't. And that is, yeah, I'm not going to go too deep into this because I want to definitely talk about the Padres and everything and their win today. But that is kind of the NBA's thing now, right? A lot of these guys that are in the league are European players. That's fine. It's good. It's great. The flavor is great for the league. But for the draft night, we just don't know who any of these people from overseas are. And then the other guys that are drafted are all coming off of 1 year in college. Freshmen. You know, one and dones, as they call them. So we don't get to know any of them. The second pick is supposed to be Dylan Harper. Now, if anybody knows what team he played for last year, you're maybe the greatest college basketball fan I've ever seen. He played for Rutgers.
Oh, I was going to say Western, Northern,
right, yeah.
Well, Dakota State.
Well, Rutgers is just as out on a limb, right? in fact, believe it or not, two of the top six picks are projected to be one-and-done players who last year played at Rutgers.
Why did Rutgers not do anything?
That's what I was going to just say. They were 15-17 last year. And I don't think they appeared on television a single time outside of the Big Ten Conference Channel. Anyway, so yeah, the NBA has a bit of an identification problem when it comes to draft night. And so that's why nobody cares. But we'll give you a little, you know, we'll follow along a little bit. And if anything interesting happens, we'll let you know. I know we have some Laker fans out there.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if the Lakers even pick in the first round. I'm bowling down here.
I bet you they gave all their number one picks.
They probably
to the
gave it away somewhere. Yeah, they probably did. Yeah, I don't see the Lakers in the first round, so they will not be drafting anybody tonight unless there's another trade somewhere. All right, let's get to what happened today out at Petco Park. Nick Pivetta, let me tell you something. There are 7-inning shutouts where you strike out 10 and allow 3 measly singles.
Mm-hmm.
There are performances like that, and then there is what he did today, which is exactly that statistically. But when you add in the fact that Morejon pitched last night, Estrada pitched lengthy last night, Jason Adam pitched lengthy last night.
They were forced into it.
And Robert Suarez was suspended for the game today.
Yep.
You absolutely had to have 7 shutties from Nick Pivetta today, and he gave it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, impressive and big time. And the kind of thing that I believe ought to get Nick Pivetta on the All-Star team this year. I don't know if he'll get there. I think he has earned it. Was that his 8th win today? 8-2. He's been, well, let me just make sure before I.
Eight and two. Okay.
8-2. Now, the ERA is 3.36. Which
is still pretty good.
It's still pretty good. The reason it's higher than it was is because he had a couple of games there where he gave up 4 or 5 runs. But by and large, Nick Pivetta has been lights out all season. And for all of those people, and there was a long line of them who said, yeah, Nick Pivetta is the kind of guy that'll give you 4 or 5 good games, and then he'll give you 4 or 5 bad games, and you'll kind of wonder what's the matter. That hasn't happened.
There's been some.
It just
games,
hasn't.
But
okay,
it hasn't
right.
been overall that
okay,
way.
He's made 15 starts, Scraby. He's had 3 games where he's given up over 3 runs. I'd take that. 13
yeah.
out of 16, would you take that?
Yeah.
He's given up 0 runs in a start 4 times this year in 16 starts. Today was actually his 16th start. I said 15. So 16 starts. He's had 4 games where he's given up 0 runs. He's had 3 others where he's given up 1. And he's had 2 others where he's given up 2. You're going to win those games.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is what Pivetta's been, and I think he's been an all-star type performer this year.
And before I get any, because I've already, Pivetta faced a bad Nationals team. That was not what people were saying 2 days ago.
Yes, that's right.
That is not.
All right, look. Don't even go there, please. Arizona, 2 starts ago, are they bad? 7 innings, 2 hits against them. You know, Yankees, 5 innings, 2 runs. At Colorado, he gave up a couple. At Detroit, 7 innings, nothing. I think Detroit has the best record in baseball. So please don't try to even slip this in there that there was a bad national team. And while we're at that, this is such low-hanging fruit that I didn't even want to mention it. But I can't help it because as I walk outside and I go into my backyard and I have those fruit trees.
Uh-huh.
This fruit is hanging so low that it's hitting me in the shoulders. Oh. I have to grab at it.
What is it?
What kind of fruit? CJ Abrams and James Woods went 0-for-8 with 6 strikeouts today between them.
Yep.
So I know that on Monday night. Right. Worst trade ever made. Should have never gotten rid of Abrams. Should have never got rid of Wood. How good would this team look with those 2 guys in the lineup? Well, that's about what they would look like. Once in a while, they give you good games. But most of the time, they don't. And that is exactly why the Nationals suck. Because guys like Abrams and Wood are not consistently good yet.
They cannot carry
they
a team.
They may consistently be good one day. But the Padres needed something at the time in 2022 to help them lead to the NL Championship Series and within 2 games of the World Series. The Nationals got some good young players, but that's what they are, and they're still finding their way. And as good as Abrams and Wood and Josh Bell, I'll even throw him in, as good as they were on Monday night, the last 3 games, or last 2 games, that threesome, the former Padres, Went 2-for-21 with 10 strikeouts. No damage of any kind.
No, they didn't. And I even did the math just on those two guys, which you already kind of stole my thunder, which is okay. 2-for-16, 2 walks, 2 RBIs, 9 Ks over the final 2 games.
Well, the
for
2 RBIs that James Wood got were last night. One was on a little dribbler in front of the plate, and the other was on a fielder's choice ground ball. He didn't even get a hit on either of those. So, look. I'm not trying to knock these two guys. I like them both.
They're probably going to be very good.
They are good. James Wood's already very good. CJ Abrams is good. But it just underscores how absurd some of the Padre fans, and let's be honest, most baseball fans can be. There's one game where these two guys light it up and the Nationals win, and all of a sudden AJ Preller and the Padres organization is the stupidest organization ever to exist.
And this is why people ask me, why don't you guys like to talk about that stuff? Because it's true. Well, this is what happens. One game.
Here's the point. Here's your point. If you're one of those people who believe that Abrams and Wood was a complete disaster for us to trade, fine. But then on a day like today, you have to also admit that maybe we didn't lose too much. I mean, because if you're banking your opinion on a one game performance and saying it was a terrible trade, well, then today you have to bank it on a one game performance and say, well, we stole Juan Soto and we stole whatever we got after him. Because all we gave away was two guys who struck out 7 times today.
And I got to say, too, that everybody was like, yeah, Robert Hassel was a part of that. Robert Hassel has not done one thing in the major leagues. He's been called up.
He came up for a couple of weeks, hit a home run, and he went back down. Gore pitched well today. Yeah. Good job by Gore, but not enough. Lindsey Gore is 3-8. All I'm saying.
And this was a winnable game for them today.
All I'm saying is just listen to us when we tell you to relax and not rank a trade that happened 3 years ago based on one game.
Correct.
All right, we're underway. Gwynn and Chris, welcome to it. Couple hours to go. Relax. We'll keep you up to date with the NBA draft, too.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
All right, 502. Isn't that a robbery, I believe, in the police code?
502?
We got a 502 going on?
Oh, I don't know.
Somebody's out there who works in law enforcement could help us, but I seem to remember 502 as a robbery.
No, it's drunk driving.
Oh, it is? Okay. Well, I knew I recognized it. I don't know why I felt that was a robbery, but it is drunk driving. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'd heard it somewhere, and I thought I'd throw it in. Welcome back to the program. Good
evening
to you. I was
going to make a joke about you heard it from a police officer, but then now that we know it's drunk driving, you wouldn't be drunk driving. So.
Right. All right. So no 502s out there as you're driving home and listening to the show. Get home safely. Padres got out of this series safely. They beat the Nats 1-0 today. Luis Arraez, you know, we've said it before, Scrabe, he's not as valuable as he needs to be when he's hitting 274. But As he starts to creep up towards 300 now, 288, getting a little closer, right? 12-game hit streak, three hits today. Start getting the importance of Luis Arraez. Drove in the game's only run. I thought Diaz had a really good game, as I said earlier. A couple of hits, almost had a third. Line drive was caught down there. Made a really great play to begin the ninth inning. Understand that the Nationals led off with Jacob Young, okay? Number nine hitter. Here's what you need to know about Jacob Young. He's fast.
Very.
Like lightning. He's almost an automatic stolen base guy. So when he lays down a bunt to start the ninth inning, to me, and it's a 1-0 game. When he lays that bunt down, to me, like the game is almost at stake on that play. Because if you get him, you stop any momentum and rally they might have. But if you don't get him, then he's on. With that speed, he probably steals second. You got Abrams, Wood, Garcia all have a chance to tie the game or more. And understand that Young laid a bunt down, I think, for two reasons on that play. One, because it was a pretty good play. He laid down a bunt. And I like the play. I like it. He's fast. He lays out a bunt. But the other reason that he laid down a bunt there, if you ask me, because he and the Nationals know that Adrian Morejon does not field his position very well. The only thing that Young did not do was bunt the ball far enough away from Elias Diaz, who made a really supreme play. He had to race out there with the ball rolling away from him, shed his mask, pick up the ball, throw while not stumbling and falling over his catcher's equipment, and make an accurate throw while falling down to get that play. I don't know that people appreciated it enough. And you know, and after that, then Morejon's, you know, on a roll, and he gets Abrams a strikeout again, and Wood flies out, game over, Padres win it. So really well done by Diaz back there today. I thought Tyler Wade, another guy, made a couple of really good defensive plays today on hard ground balls in the hole, going over there, knocking them down, and getting the out. Bryce Johnson goes back to the left field wall early in the game. I don't know if he stole a home run, but it was close.
He was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, these are the things the Padres do that we don't talk often enough about. We talk plenty about the fact that they don't hit sometimes. They don't have power. They don't hit with runners in scoring position. We talk often about the injuries. We talk often about, you know, the hole in left field, the automatic outs behind the plate. We talk about all this stuff often. Maybe we focus on all of it too much. The one thing I think the Padres are as good as anybody at, and I would put them with the ahead of the Dodgers, honestly, in this category, and it's maybe the only category I'd put them ahead of the Dodgers, is just baseball. Running the bases, executing, getting, you know, scoring runs, creating runs, and then preventing runs. Hitting cutoffs. How about the game the other night? Jackson Merrill,
yep.
Right center, gets the ball.
What was it, Sunday?
Iglesias, relay.
Mm-hmm.
Save the game.
Yeah.
That wins the game. Today's play by Diaz, I say, didn't win the game, but it was a big deal. These are the things the Padres do well and have, for the most part, done well all year. I think it's the reason why they're 8 games over .500 in a season where they're at the bottom of the ranks offensively. They're at the bottom of the ranks in power. Sure, their pitching is good, let's be honest. But it hasn't been lights out for a long time.
No.
The pitching just has not. The bullpen's ERA over the last 60 games is 3.80. Now, that's good. It's not lights out. But they keep finding ways. Today was the 13th one-run game this month. It's only June 25th. They played 13 one-run games this month, and they're only 6-7.
I want to talk about those games for a second, because I get people like to ask me questions to ask you guys.
Okay.
And so the question was, if the Nationals are so bad as you guys are saying, why didn't the Padres win by like 4 or 5 runs? I'm like, sometimes wins come 1-0 over a team like the Nationals. It's okay. The only thing that matters at the end of the day is the W column.
Well,
that's the only thing.
Yeah, and let me try to answer that question in a different way. Because people do, they say, okay, you're playing the Nationals.
Oh, so that should be easy. Three games, they should win 7-0 every game.
Except for the fact that earlier this season in April, the Dodgers went there, and the Nationals won 2 out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. Baseball is just that way.
But that's why it's 162 games, because the better teams go to the top.
The cream rises. Yes. Good call. The Nationals split 4 with the Mets earlier this year. The Nationals, you know, swept Baltimore. The Baltimore's having a tough year. But you get my point. The Nationals are going to win their share of games. The key to me is, in the long run, to have a good record against teams you should beat. And let me point out a little bit.
You had this for us yesterday, I believe.
But I have it even more so now. Okay, because I worked on this, and it's funny that you brought it up. I was looking at the Tigers. They have the best record in the league, in all of baseball.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Okay, their record is 50-30. They played 80 games. They have played 40 games against winning teams. And they have played 40 games against losing teams.
All right.
Against the winning teams, the Tigers are downright mediocre. 20-20. But teams, they're 30-10.
That's where you stack your wins.
That's why the Tigers have the best record. But also understand, they're 30-10. That means they've lost 10.
Yes.
You don't go 40-0. Baseball's just not that way.
Yeah.
So when people say, well, how do you lose any to the Nationals? That's how it works. The Padres, by and large, have been great against losing teams. And here's the stats that support it. 34 games against losing teams so far. They're 26-8. That will get it done.
It will.
It would be nice to be 34-0. I understand that. But 26-8 is winning. And it also allows the Padres to have a downright lousy record against good teams. The Padres are 18-28 against teams with winning record. And that's not good at all.
And in the regular season, that's not saying that they're not a good team, because in the playoffs, anything can happen. And the Padres have a good enough team.
We know the Padres
to
can
win
beat
in the playoffs.
We know the Padres can beat any of these teams, right? They beat the Giants 2-0 this year. They beat the Cubs 2-1 this year. They've beat Milwaukee 2-1 this year. Okay, they can beat all these teams. But in the long run, got a losing record against winning teams. But you make it a moot point by going 26-8 and cleaning up on all these other clubs. Now, that said, let's be fair. Pretty much got nothing but winning teams coming up here for a while.
I mean, it was winning teams the past 26 games for
mostly,
the most part.
For the most part. You're right. You're right. But
let's, and you know what they did over that last 26 games, Chris? 500.
Enlighten me. 13-13.
That's what we said on the round table. If we get through this 26-game stretch in 27 days and they come out 500, that's a win.
You want to survive it. You
exactly.
Just want to survive
it. You got to stay afloat, and they did.
The Padres survived it with the injuries, with some guys not hitting and swinging it well. They survived it. They have 5 series left before the All-Star break, Padres. First two will be on the road, Cincinnati and Philadelphia, both winning teams.
Hey, Cincinnati is not a team that we can look past.
Why would you? Are the Padres good enough to look past anybody?
No, but people will look past Cincinnati because of the name Cincinnati.
Well, okay. Well, how about you look at the record? They're 42-38 right now, and they just took 2 from the Yankees. The Reds are playing fine. They have one of the best managers going, and our guy, Terry Francona.
Tito.
Phillies are next. We know how good they are. Then you come home, and you finish the first half with 10 games at home. Texas, Arizona for 4, and Philadelphia. Just as tough a stretch as what you just finished, right? So, got to get after it. But, you know, an important win today. And the other thing I've been talking about, Tony's poo-pooed this.
Poo-poo.
You know what I mean. You know what poo-poo means?
Oh, yeah, of course. He went,
he's like,
that's what he did.
Well, he didn't. I don't think he...
Anytime Tony poo-poos now, it's...
I don't think he flatulated on this.
He would like to, I bet.
I was trying to find the word there. But the Padres seem to win the last game of every series they play. I don't know why that is, but they just do. They finished in Arizona with a win after losing two. They finished in the Dodgers with a win after losing three. And they won the last two Kansas City, the last two Washington. Does it mean a lot? It kind of does to me, because it leaves them with a good feeling after every series, it seems like.
I
kind of like winning the last game of every series.
And even though Tony,
he thought it didn't mean anything.
And you know what? He might be right, but to me, if we have great shows, Chris, throughout the week, and then we have a bad show on Friday,
leaves the bad taste. It leaves all weekend.
Like I can't wait to get back on Monday. If we have great show, or we have bad shows all week, but we have two great shows at the end of the week, I feel good about the weekend.
What I would like to know is, when have we ever had a bad show on a Friday? I mean, honestly, has that ever really happened?
I would have to think back, don't but answer, I'm sure there
don't
is.
Don't answer that. Cooper Flagg is officially a Dallas Maverick. The NBA draft just getting underway with the first pick. More Gwen and Chris ahead.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Williams' first pitch here, hit in the air to deep left center field. Wood is back. This one is going to go. Martin Maldonado ties it up. His fourth home run of this season. And another Maldonado ambush has made it 3-3.
Good call, as always, by our friend Jesse Agler. Last night's ball game, Padres won that one 4-3. They won today 1-0. By the way, did we mention, Scrape, 13th shutout already this season for the Padres? 13!
Is that good?
I think so.
I think so, too.
They've only won 44 games.
And 13 of,
13 what's of them, they haven't given up any runs. To put it in a little perspective, though, how has the game of baseball changed? Back That's in the historic...
30% of their games have been shut out, or 30% of their wins have
been
shut out.
Yeah, right. Very good. 13 shutouts for the Padres so far. In the historic pitching season of 1968, Bob Gibson alone for the St. Louis Cardinals had 13 shutouts himself. Can you imagine?
They also threw like 300 pitches in a game back then. So
Bob Gibson had a pretty good year. There's so many ways to distinguish that incredible 1968 season, but... he finished with a 1.12 ERA. I think that probably says the most. 13 shutouts for the Padres, which puts them on pace, what, for 26, right?
Yeah.
Like we're almost halfway through the season. I don't know what the all-time record is by a team, but I'm looking it up as we speak. See, wow.
Uh-oh. It's got to be like a Yankees team or something.
No, it's not. 32. Is the most team shutout. I want to see when it was.
1893.
1909 and 1906 and 1907. Since 1910, okay?
Okay.
The most shutouts by a team in one season is 26 by the Cardinals. And that was in 1944. So the Padres are on pace as a staff to do something that has not been done in 81 years. Is that correct? Mathematically, I think so.
Which is so strange because...
1944 was the last time somebody had 26 shutouts as a team. Padres have 13. That's pretty good. So it's really good. Even better than I kind of thought. It's great. You know what I mean?
I know.
I didn't realize they were like on pace for what would, you know, have to be almost considered a record, since the only other teams with more than 26 all happened in 1910.
All right. So since 1961, mm-hmm. did you just talk about the 1968 Cardinals?
No, the 68 Cardinals was the one that Bob Gibson was on.
Okay,
yes.
So yeah, 27 shutouts that year. Then 20. The Padres at 13 are already ranked tied for like 20th in the history with 13
right.
shutouts.
Yeah, there you go. Cardinals 1968 had 27. Gibson had 13 of them.
The Dodgers had 20. The Orioles in 1963 for the Dodgers. 1969, the Orioles had 19. So the Padres could really put themselves in the top
in
10.
An elite company
like
in terms of shutouts.
That just don't happen.
No. 13 shutouts already. They're on pace for 26. Probably won't keep that up, but if they do, good. By the way, four of those games this year have been 1-0.
I kind of like it.
You do?
Yeah, I kind of like the stress.
Speaking of soccer, tonight the SDFC takes on Vancouver in a big one up there in Vancouver. Winner goes into first place in the MLS.
I mean, that's
Western Conference.
That's pretty good. We did not expect first place.
No.
Like, I think halfway through there. I have no idea.
They're a little beyond halfway now. Yeah. No, that would be huge if the SDFC can win tonight. I would love to watch the game, but... And this is not a knock on any soccer fan. This is a knock on... The MLS needs to figure it out.
They can't.
Can't put this game on Apple TV Plus, where I have to, like, pay beyond my Apple subscription to watch it. I would really like to see it. I'd be honest, this intrigues me, right? This is a big match. But I'm not going to work that hard for it. And I'm not going to pay that much extra for it. And I think I'm in the majority. I know you soccer crazy people are going to find a sports bar somewhere, and that's good. But what the MLS needs, correct me if I'm wrong, Scrape.
What?
The MLS needs to attract new fans.
Yes, they do.
And the way to get new fans is to make a game of this importance available to us.
I will tell you why it's not going to happen, where they're going to switch it up unless they can get out of their contract. Apple's paying MLS $250 million a year for the next 10 years, and that started in 2023,
well,
I believe.
They got the money, but they're not going to get a lot of new fans if they can't make their games
but
more accessible.
I also
accessible.
Think possibly MLS is ahead of its game, ahead of its time.
By
no reason other than the fact that Apple was...
Oh, because you think
was,
all the other teams, the other leagues are going to have to do this?
For no other reason than that, they needed money, and Apple was willing to pay them money. It's not because they were forward thinkers, I don't
right.
think.
Right, they took the cash.
Yeah, they took the cash, they
yeah.
did. And it's smart, but I think in 10 years, we're probably paying to watch our teams.
Yeah, but I think the rest of us, we may work harder and pay harder to watch baseball. I know we'll work harder and pay more to watch football. I don't know that we will for soccer. And this is why soccer, I think, needs to think a little differently. Because, again, I'm not speaking for you hardcore soccer fans. I know you're out there. I know you love your team. I know you support it. I know all your kids play it.
I get it. You're ready for the game tonight.
Right. You can't wait. You've got people coming over, or you're all meeting at the sport. I get it. It's the people like me that are sports people but aren't really, totally soccer people yet. I would love to DVR this game and watch it tonight. I just would, but I can't. It's not there.
I guess you're going to have to watch it live, then.
I'm not going to. Well, here's why. Because to watch it live, I have to first have Apple TV. I secondly have to then pay a fee beyond that to watch it. That's just no way.
Should I tell you that the station can help you with that?
I understand. I get all that. I'm speaking for the people out there that aren't in the media and don't have a little, backdoor way
in. I'm in the media and I don't. Really,
but you know what I'm saying, Scrape?
I do. I would not be able to afford MLS every single month.
There's probably people driving home right now. They're like, wow, our soccer team, I knew we had one, and we're really in a matchup for first place tonight? Like the whole best two teams in the whole league practically are playing, and we're one of them? How do I watch it? Where is it? Well, you don't watch it because it's nowhere.
It is somewhere. So,
well, you know what
I mean.
You
just got to go find it.
All right. That's all I'm saying. Good luck, though, to the SDFCers tonight.
Ooh, we got a no-hitter going right now.
Who's got it?
Jacob DeGrom.
Oh,
he has no-hit the Orioles through 7 innings.
7 innings for DeGrom.
I got to put this on TV.
Put it on TV. We'll keep an eye on that. The NBA draft continues. I believe the second pick was who we expected, Dylan Harper from Rutgers. He went to the Spurs.
Is that Ron Harper's son?
I don't know. It could be. Very good possible pick. As expected also, Philadelphia 76ers got guard VJ Edgecombe from Baylor. Again, not guys that I are household names, but that's the first three picks of the NBA draft.
All right, do not Google Dylan Harper.
Why? Something
comes up with a woman who is...
I see. He shares a name with an adult actress?
I spelled the first name wrong. His name is actually like the traditional
That's
spelling of
unbelievable.
Dylan.
Unbelievable.
But Dylan, I spelled it D-I-L-L-O-N.
Okay, well, you can't do that. Dylan Harper...
So the bosses see what I just looked up. It was because of I
nope,
typed in the Scraby's wrong name.
Scraby's doing things he shouldn't be doing over there.
Now everybody's going to... Google
Talk. Right. Everybody's going to look him up. Okay. Well, when you look up Dylan Harper, you might want to make sure.
All I want to know is if he's Ron Harper's son. I didn't want to go into
clear.
Any of that.
All right. Let's take a break while you look up the real Dylan Harper, hopefully, yes. Or the other Dylan Harper, as it were. And Gwen and Chris continues until 7 tonight. Stick around. Gravy's going to take over the show at 6 o'clock, and we'll go whatever direction he wants. That'll be the Chronicle segment of the show. Meanwhile, Gwen and Chris part keeps going till 6. Final score, Padres 1 and the Nationals nothing. The reason I'm pausing is because we're watching this no-hit bid by Jacob DeGrom, which just ended.
Yeah, it was us, Chris.
We killed it. Leadoff single in the bottom of the 8th by the Orioles.
I think it was first pitch, too.
Yeah, didn't take long. So DeGrom goes 7. No-no. And now no-no-no for Jacob. The Rangers are still winning the game. What was the score there? Was it 3-0?
It was 7-0.
Oh, wow. Okay, 7-0. Also, Bruce Bochy quickly out to the mound. That's it. The night is over for DeGrom. Like, he was only pitching into the 8th inning because he had a no-hitter. Hmm. Otherwise, they're not going to take any chances with the often injured Jacob DeGrom.
No, they don't want anything happening to that elbow.
So he goes 7. No. Yankees lead the Reds 4-1. Here's why. And I'm going to just get on my soapbox here, so please join me if you're old enough.
I'm going to stay quiet because Chris was very upset about this in the break.
I'm going to get on my soapbox. Like I said, if you're old enough, come join me. Reds and Yankees, bases loaded for the Yankees, top of the 5th inning, 1 out. Now, the fly ball is hit to center field, deep center field, pretty deep, right? Like, no question that this is a sacrifice fly. The guy's going to trot in from third base. But the runner at third base is the young guy, Bird, for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, not Bird, Rice, Ben Rice. Take it back.
I say, and
I know, but it's not. It's Ben Rice. All right. He's the young guy, rookie player. Really talented player.
Yeah, he's talented.
But he tags up, and what does he do? He leaves too early.
Mm-hmm.
He starts running home before the ball is caught. First of all, I don't get that. Like, why? You're watching it. The ball's out there. You don't need to even get a quick start. Because it's so deep, Scraby and I could crawl home. So you're a major leaguer. You can easily score. You don't need to time it. Just wait till he catches the ball.
It was right center near the fence.
Right. But he doesn't do that. He takes 3 steps and then realizes, oops, I'm an idiot. I left before the ball was caught. So he goes back to third. And then he compounds his mistake by then trying to score.
Yeah, he went for it.
He went for it. Well, now that he's done all that, he's going to be out by a mile. Except for the fact that the Reds have a young not very aware shortstop of their own named Ellie De La Cruz. Now, we all know that Ellie De La Cruz has more talent in his little pinky than any of us do.
Yeah.
But he catches the relay throw, and he's just not aware.
Just holding it.
He holds the ball.
He's looking at, like, the second baseman.
He's looking at it like he's going to take a bite out of it. And while he's looking at the ball, the guy who should now be out by a mile walks in and scores.
Yep.
These things are happening all the time with young players who don't pay attention, and I'm a little tired of it because we sit there and talk endlessly how great all these young players are, but we don't look at the entire package. Last night, another De La Cruz, the Pittsburgh guy.
Oh, O'Neill Cruz.
I'm sorry, O'Neill Cruz, yes. Another Cruz.
There was a Brian De La Cruz.
Yes, there
the
was.
Team.
No, we're talking about O'Neill Cruz.
Yes. 6'7", can hit the ball harder than anyone in baseball. That's not a joke.
He's incredible. Again, as talented as any player you've ever seen. O'Neill Cruz. But you know what? Last night, Cruz was a perfect description for what kind of ball player he was. He comes up. He hits a ground ball to the shortstop. I actually think the third baseman fielded it because they were in a bit of a shift. But it's a ground ball to short with a man on first. Cruz runs out of the box, sees the third baseman grab the ball, and starts jogging.
Mm-hmm.
They throw to second for one, back to first, inning ending, double play. While Cruz has this dumbfounded look on his face, like, what happened?
Yeah, he did.
Well, turns out he thought there was already two outs, thought there was no reason to run because they were getting the force at second. I understand mistakes happen.
Yes, they do.
I know Tony would stick up for this guy 1,000 times.
This isn't the first time he's done something.
But this is not the first time. How about the play a couple of weeks ago?
In the outfield?
In the outfield where they had a line drive to him and he comes in and it goes under his glove.
And he just kind of like
stands
there.
And he stands there and turns around and watches the ball roll to the fence and doesn't move.
Yeah, he just looked at it.
What am I missing here? I know he's so talented. He can do whatever he wants. He's going to make billions of dollars. But I can't stand watching the game be played this way. This is what I don't like, Scraby. I don't like players who are not paying attention. I want the game played at a higher level. I appreciate the talent. But I don't like to see stuff like this. And then, two nights ago, the best young player of them all, Pete Crow Armstrong.
Oh, PCA.
PCA. Gonna go. In fact, I think at the end of the season, they're gonna change the rule and just let him be enshrined into the Hall of Fame. He's so good.
People are very, yeah.
Right? They love this guy.
Yes.
And, you know, look, what's not to love? 20 something home runs, stolen bases, the whole thing. Pete Crow Armstrong playing center field against the Cardinals. Fly ball, deep center field. I think it was last night or the night before. Either one.
I'm watching it right now. It was one
day ago. Burleson hit the ball. Crow Armstrong back on the warning track, makes the catch, and just casually makes the catch.
He makes the catch. He bounces off the wall.
He kind of walks
and he goes,
around
oh, no!
slowly, and then he looks up and he goes, wait a minute! Yes, the runner at second base was Mason Wynn, who took advantage of Pete Crow Armstrong's laziness and scored from second base, tagging up on a fly ball.
That should never happen.
Now, you want to call it a good play by Mason Wynn? I do, too. He took advantage of it. Great play by him.
He was ready.
But you're right. That just shouldn't happen. And I'm, you know, and after the game, Pete Crow Armstrong was talked, and I'll give him credit for at least standing and facing the music, but it's the old thing. Oh, yeah, I thought there was one out. I thought there were two. I wasn't paying attention. It'll never happen again. Why does it even happen once? I don't get it. I'll tell you why it happens. In my standing on a soapbox old man mind. Because these kids, unlike
the kids
in my day and age.
Oh, no.
I told you I'm on my old man soapbox
okay.
here. These kids, unlike me, who had to walk uphill in the snow barefoot to work every day, both ways, right? These kids are coddled too much.
Oh, I don't know that that's
you're not going to go for it. But Pete Crow Armstrong, O'Neal Cruz, Ellie De La Cruz, Ben Rice, every single one of them have just been given a free ride the whole way. I guarantee you not one coach anywhere ever sat down with these guys and said, hey, you got talent to burn, but how about playing the game right?
But what if if in that scenario, that's on coaching throughout their entire career for not actually talking to them.
But you're not allowed to talk to them anymore. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
Okay.
If you don't want the manager to be like, hey, you know, PCA, what is it, Craig Council? You know what, PCA? You want to stay on this team, you're going to have to do stuff better. You're going to have to make sure you're ready.
Why don't you look up the box score from the Cub-Cardinal game last night, and you tell me, did Craig Council take him out of the game after that?
Probably
you tell
not.
Me. Go
He's
look
too
it
good.
Up.
He's too good. I'm looking it up. Was that yesterday? 6:24.
Did he come out of the game at any time?
I'm looking.
All right, look it up. I'm going to let you
he did
look
not.
It up. He did not.
O'Neal
Cruz did. I'll give the Pirate guy
props. And that is an interim manager.
Thank you. Pirate manager. Making him accountable. Know how many outs there are. Run. Play hard. P. Crow Armstrong stays in the game. Fine. Craig Council is a multi-gazillion dollar manager. But I'm going to tell you something, again, on the soapbox. If this happened in 1978, uh-oh, Billy Martin would have run out to center field and pulled Pete Crow Armstrong out of the game himself.
See that?
And Earl Weaver would have done it too, and Sparky Anderson, and moving forward, Bobby Cox and Tom Kelly and Tony La Russa, and just about anybody you could name would not stand for a star player like that to make a mistake.
Let
like
me
that.
Tell you about like why that doesn't work today.
All right, you tell
because
me.
Because now you're all over social media, getting a talking to in the dugout, and everybody's going to put up their videos, mm-hmm, making fun of you. You know what should happen?
What?
Is that person, PCA, should come back to the dugout. They sit him down, they talk to him, and they make sure that he understands the situation. And then if that happens again, then we're going to take action.
All right, so you're telling me that you disagree then with what the Pirate manager did by taking O'Neal Cruz out right away.
No, because this is O'Neal Cruz's, like,
19th time?
Yeah. Yeah, PCA hasn't really done this so far that
PCA,
I know.
Right, PCA's been pretty on his P's and Q's.
But when O'Neal Cruz is missing easy pot flies in the outfield
and then not running after the ball,
watching Brian Reynolds go get it.
He did. It was laughable. It was absolutely laughable. He turned around and watched Brian Reynolds chase the ball behind him.
And I think more of it in his
my
head is
goodness.
I think more of it in his head is, oh my, I can't believe I just did that.
Well, of course, but
that's, run after the ball.
Run after the ball. You've been doing that, I hope, since Little League.
Can we bring this back to the Padres though? Because Padres are a well-coached team. I don't see the Padres having anyone score on a sack fly from second base. And if it does happen, Mike Schilt will tell that player what they did wrong.
Let me ask you this, and I'm going to hit closer to home now.
Okay.
Because you just said it, and I've been saying it.
Okay.
The Padres, take care. They're buttoned down. They don't make these kinds of errors.
They're a heady
Except
team.
Except for the fact that the other day, your guy and my guy and everyone else's guy, Fernando Tatis Jr., was running from first to second. He was easily thrown out on a force play. Not even close. Except for the fact that the second baseman dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Fernando didn't see the... he didn't see him drop the ball. If he saw it, then he's really, really not very smart.
Well, that is true.
So I'm assuming he did not see the second baseman.
He thought he was out.
Didn't see it. The umpire said safe. Fernando didn't see that either. So he got up and started running off the field and then was tagged out. And then the umpire said, you're out. And then Fernando had his tail between his legs because he knew he blew it, and he was saved by the home plate umpire. He came walking out and said, "Oh, no, I called time way over here. He's okay."
Isn't there a time limit?
To me, that's a brain cramp, though, that really I'm going to get on Fernando for. He got away with it this time, but only because something happened way over there that he wasn't aware of. I don't like that stuff. And I'm going to have to pick on Fernando the same way I pick on PCA in this particular situation.
I'm fine with that because you know what? That was a huge part of the game, and if Fernando was out, it would have really messed up everything.
I think they ended up losing that game anyway, but they were trying to come back. I think it was the game Monday night. I can't remember for sure. But they were trying to come back and get a rally going, and that could have killed the whole rally. So, look, this happens throughout baseball.
But can you think about anything else this year from Fernando? I can't.
Well, other than the fact that both he and Manny jogged to first base on high pop-ups. I don't like that.
Oh, I don't care about that.
I know you don't. But
because you know what? If it's a high pop-out in the outfield or whatever, then and if they drop it, you're still going to get to first. And I'd rather Manny not tear something sprinting down the line when he has a can of corn.
Yeah.
Pop fly out there.
Yeah. Well, tell that to every other ball player who played before Manny and Fernando who did run out those fly balls and didn't tear their hamstrings doing it.
Andros has an interesting thing that we can't really prove about the Fernando thing.
Okay, what's he got?
I think the dude on second lied to him and told him he was out or something.
Well, okay.
That could happen.
It could, but that's still Fernando's fault.
Yeah, you shouldn't believe what someone tells you.
The last I checked, the second baseman is not wearing an umpire's uniform. It's up to the umpire to tell you whether you're safe or out.
On this case...
And I hate to tell you, I learned that when I was 9 years old.
In this case, Chris, in the sports court, I side with you.
Okay. All right.
It wasn't a great look. Just forgot about it because he got away with it.
Yeah, he got away with it. So, look... All right, young players, you've been put on notice by the old fart here, Chris Ello. I'm sorry, but I have to do it. So I have to do it. I know that I Scraby, give me a little credit. I've come to accept the iPhone. I've come to accept, you know, that everyone wants to get a tattoo and a nose ring. And I'm past all of it. I can't quite get past lazy baseball. I'm not a fan of that. And I don't think I ever will be.
I don't think it's wrong for you to feel that way at all. Because these guys are playing at the highest level.
They're getting paid a lot of money
to be aware of the situation on the field. And if you're not aware of the situation on the field, then you're not doing your job.
Isn't a little part of it the attitude, which is, I'm going to do the cool thing. I got to look good playing the game.
I can't say that.
I can't either, but that kind of was what went through my mind when I watched PCA on that.
He did have this, like, that was a good catch,
yeah.
And then he, like, did a little twirl.
I made a hell of a nice catch there. Did everybody see it? I want to make sure you saw it, because it was a nice play by me. Oops!
Jan says, I agree with Chris.
I'm sure a lot of people do, and I'm sure a lot of people don't, and That's fine.
We got to do traffic real quick.
Let's do that.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.